Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla.
I'm Jordana.
My name is Bill.
And I'm Johanna.
And this week, we are continuing to talk about sin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. but we're talking about a very specific sin this morning, and that is the sin of sloth, which is not something that we talk about very much at all. And maybe if you're listening, you're like, sloth, what even is that? Is that a sin? So hopefully we can help unpack some of that for you. But first, I wanted to start, since we don't talk about this word very often, when I say the word sloth, what is the first thing that comes to mind, Johanna?
Animal.
An animal, okay.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Okay. Bill, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, in our church context, I know the old joke is, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus.
Right.
But I'm just thinking of when I hear the word sloth, I think of lack of caring and indifference.
Okay. And what about for you?
Yeah, I would say inertia.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So funny story. When I think of sloth, what comes to mind for me is a slug. Because I know. Okay. So when I was preparing for this podcast, I wrote on the outline sloth, not the bug. Because for whatever reason, I assumed that the slug was called a sloth, but it's not. Sloth is the animal. Anyway, so I got all confused. All of that to say, we're not talking about slugs. We're not talking about creatures in the forest. We're talking about sloth.
Yes.
So what is that? When we talk about sloth in a Christian context, in the context of sin, how would you sort of describe it?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I said inertia, that sense of just not wanting to do what you need to do.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything you would add to that, Bill?
Well, I think, sloth is apathy. It's, indifference. Mm-hmm. I think it's, I mean, one definition was a culpable lack of in effort, disregard of your, obligations to family, to, work, to church, to your own life, your own spiritual life. Culpable is the big word there.
Yeah. You know what you're supposed to be doing, but you're definitely not doing it.
And you're responsible for the fact that you're not doing it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. What about for you? Yeah. How would you sort of think about that word?
I guess like for me, I would think of like waiting too long. Like, you know what you're called to do, you know what you're supposed to do, but you're thinking XYZ, like, I'm just gonna wait until this happens or until that or until I feel ready. Just that, like, laying and wait and not doing anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's this complex kind of a thing, but it is, I think we've helped sort of drill it down. At its very basic, it's not doing the things that you know you're supposed to be doing and you're not doing them. Yeah, you are culpable in that. You are responsible for that somehow. Which then leads into this helpful distinction of like, what is not sloth, right? Because we sometimes think of it as, you know, it's just laziness. It's just choosing not to do the right thing, or it's tiredness, right? But I think those things are not quite sloth. Is that fair to say?
Right. I would say laziness can be a component of sloth, but sloth is so much more. And I think, also, I mean, we talk about, taking a break, and I think some people, and Rob, joked about this in a sermon saying that, you know, going on vacation is an example of sloth. And I would say, no, that's not either. I mean, there's very good reasons for us to take vacations, to even take a sabbatical, right? The Bible talks about taking a sabbatical, taking time away from your regular work, to recharge emotionally, physically, spiritual. I mean, we are told to do that. So obviously that's
And Jesus did that. Like, he just like lit out away from all the crowds and all the work so often, right? To get that rest. And so you do know that those breaks are very much part of who we are as humans. We need them. We are creatures, like we are, you know. And so to that extent, taking those breaks is so important to recognizing your limits. Right. So it's not rest. It's not taking a break.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Rest is like incorporated into who we are as human beings.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely like a difference between needing rest and a break and not wanting to do anything all of the time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think even one of the distinctions I think we need to make too is like even not wanting to do something all the time, it really depends on your like mental and emotional and physical state, right? Because I would not want to say, like Rob even said in his sermon, like sloth is not the same as depression, for example, right? That like, yeah, there's something about, you know, those who are living with mental illness or those who are living like with chronic physical illness, right? That is not sloth. That is a separate category of things that maybe sometimes has the same consequences in the world. Maybe it means you're not doing things, just like sloth means you're not doing things. But I would not put mental and physical illness in the realm of sin.
I think you're right. I think depression might be a component of sloth, and being in a state of slothiness might cause you to become depressed as a symptom, but I think they're completely separate. I think I agree.
Yeah. And one of the things that you also mentioned to me earlier this week, Johanna, was that, you know, it's not the same as burnout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, how would you sort of distinguish those things?
Well, to get burnt out, you have to not be slothful in the first place. Like, you have to be doing a whole bunch of work and not prioritizing, you know, rest and that work-life balance to burn out because you've overworked yourself. So, like, I don't know, like in my head, whenever I feel burnt out, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm being so lazy. I should be doing this and this and that. But that mindset is why I'm burnt out in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so it's not helping me be productive anyway. So yeah, it is different.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I just wanted to also say that, that one of the interesting things that can happen in burnout is a reflection that as much as we have been exceedingly busy, if that busyness came out of a lot of things we should not necessarily have put our energies to.
Sure.
You know, then there's an underlying sloth to the busyness more than the burnout. There's an underlying sense of lack of reflection, lack of prioritization, lack of putting the effort where it needed to and saying no to a lot of other busy things that, you know, as you said, can actually be quite detrimental to us. So it's an interesting thing. It's not the burnout that's a sloth. Actually, the sloth might have happened in the areas of our busyness, right?
Right.
And that's sort of what can be quite interesting to think of when we think of sloth as that, I don't know, lack of balance in there, that inability to reflect on what needed our attention and what didn't, or what needed our energy and effort and what didn't.
So what you're bringing in then is that like sloth isn't just doing nothing. Sometimes we are doing things and being slothful in the doing of things, which seems kind of contradictory, right? But it's what helps us then distinguish, is this sloth or is it not?
Well, I think Rob, again, in the sermon, Rob talked about a couple of different examples of that. He talked about entertainment that doesn't refresh.
Right.
And I thought that was an interesting distinction because I mean, we like to be entertained and it is a good way to, you know, get away and to have some enjoyment. Right. But I mean, if it's just, you know, constant strolling on our social media feeds, or if it's binge watching show after show, then, you know, we lose the benefit of that action.
Right.
Because it's too much.
Yep.
And the, you know, if we scrolled a little bit as part of our day, you know, then that would be a fun and entertaining distraction. And then we go back to, you know, what we're supposed to do, or same thing with watching TV or going to a movie. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. But if that becomes, a controlling factor of our life, if that's how we spend so much of our time, then it instead of refreshing, it itself becomes a drain. So not only are you trying to escape from whatever it is that's draining you, but you become involved and active in something that just drains you further. And then that's where the whole kind of sense of sloth of lack of energy, lack of effort, lack of will, it really kind of comes into play, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For me, like, the scrolling is the worst thing, I think, because, okay, there's so many ways to get entertained, right? But the scrolling is just, like, very instant gratification, and you just keep doing it, and you keep seeing cool stuff, and, like, you can't stop, and then it's, like, 3 hours later, and your Bible's still open, but you haven't read a single word. It's like, oh, okay, so you have to, like, lock in again. But I noticed that for me, like, as opposed to scrolling, if I just even watch a movie, just like short form over, like, I mean, long form over short form content kind of is different. Like, you just feel different after sitting down and like expressly watching a movie versus just when you're scrolling, you're kind of thinking of a billion things at once versus just the plot of one film. So,
yeah. And I think, like you said, you know, you're scrolling and you see all these cool things and there's instant gratification. That definitely happens sometimes. But my world is more I'm scrolling and like doom scrolling. Like, I'm scrolling and like, wow, another crisis in this place. Or, oh, that peace treaty didn't hold up. We're like, oh, yeah, right. And so, like, I think for me, it's like, yes, the scrolling itself is an act of sloth, but it actually feeds a deeper sense of sloth, because if sloth is thinking, okay, nothing matters, and this like temptation to give in to despair, then like doom scrolling feeds that hard.
But it's also interesting because it feeds it without you recognizing that it's doing that, right? You feel like you are engaged. And that's the worst part about it. Because, I mean, and that moment at the beginning when, sorry, not, I am referring to the sermon, but, you know, when we talk about C.S. Lewis's quote, busyness but never purposeful, opinions that lead to no action, talk about change but never make it.
Yeah.
I mean, scrolling ends up feeding that sense that we are engaged in what is happening.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a good citizen.
We are very good citizens by knowing what is happening in the world, right? By spending 7 hours reading and reading and reading and scrolling without actually doing the important acts, simple, humble acts of love that, you know, actually do matter spiritually and in our relationships with our families, with our friends. And so that's where the danger, I think, of sloth comes in. I think it's one of the most potent sins in our world today, precisely because we are so bombarded with ways to fool ourselves that
it's
we are engaged.
I think that one of the things that I wanted to bring up, and I think that kind of goes into that, is the insidious nature of sloth. And it's not something, you don't wake up one morning and you don't care and you're indifferent and you're apathetic. It happens in very small increments. It's like what your teacher was saying the very first week you talked about. You know, you don't start with the big sins, you start with the little sins. You know, you tell a lie and then you cheat on a test, and then once that becomes normalized, you know, that small sin becomes normalized in your life, you're ready to take the next step. But I think slothiness, you know, approaches us in the same way. It's almost like the animal, right? It doesn't move more than 32 meters in a day, right? It just, it just moves very slowly. And you know, I guess, like, the insidiousness is what I was talking about of sloth, is that it comes at you in that way where you don't realize it's happening. And then, and then slowly you, well, for me personally, because I really identify, you know, of the seven deadly sins, this one might be my favorite because I just have such a personal experience of this in my life of going through, you know, what was likely years of slothfulness and, of apathy and indifference and not caring. And for me, it was, again, it wasn't just an overnight thing. It was something that came on me over time, and just, and in the, like, Jordana, like you were saying, in the busyness of our work, right? I just hearing this small voice in my head saying, Bill, you're not making a difference. Right. And, or, you know, why do you care? And it was that kind of, I mean, it's like demonic influence over my work and over my, you know, my, involvement with my family and friends that just caused me over time to just, my core to me is wanting to make a difference. So to attack on, you know, you're not making a difference. Why are you putting in all that effort?
Right.
And it's, and nothing's changing. You know, people aren't changing.
Yeah.
And the, and so all of a sudden you just start doing less and less and you start thinking, well, yeah, I'm going to watch that show, you know, all nine seasons of the, instead of doing, you know, something else, because it doesn't really matter anyway. Like why, you know, if I, you know, so I stopped showing up and I stopped caring and it just, and it was, and it just, and it was kind of just, it just fed on itself. You know, at that point, it just
that's
got
really corrosive over time.
Like this spiral downward. You just, and then you don't care.
Yeah.
And then you aren't making a difference. Mm-hmm. You're not showing up. You're not being present. You're not engaging in the world. And you want, you're so jealous of that time for you, which may have been at the beginning, something that could have been, maybe was good to take time away, like a Sabbath, like a vacation.
Yeah.
But when, when that's all that it becomes, where you're saying every day, like you, for a while, I was still working full time. I was doing the job, but I mean, I didn't do anything more. I put in the time.
Right.
And then I couldn't wait to go home and just do whatever I wanted to do. Just to, it was just about me. And so I disengaged from community. I disengaged from family. I disengaged from friends. I stopped going to church. There was a time 5-10 years ago where I was barely at church for a number of years. And it took an intervention of friends, close, dear friends. And many of them are in my Thursday morning life group that said, Bill, enough is enough. You know,
oh, that's amazing.
We got to deal with this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. And and it was, and but you know, they helped me to confront it and to get past it.
Yeah for sure. So when we think about our work life balance, as you were sort of just talking about, you know, we can go to work and do the things, and it we have a kind of hustle culture, right? A sense of like really valuing productivity and doing things out in the world. So how does sloth fit into that? If we are so busy doing all of these things, right? What does sloth look like in hustle culture?
I think sloth prevents us. Hustle culture tells us that if we take time to be still, to reflect, to not do active things, you know, then that is laziness, that you're not being all you can be. You're not doing all you can do.
Sure.
And that, I think, is completely antithetical to God's sort of be still and know that I am God. Like that, it makes stillness and reflection an enemy of achievement and fulfillment. And
right.
So one of the things I think that hustle culture tempts us to do then is to do all the things we do, you know, to keep ourselves in the know. We have our work and now we're going to also figure out, like spend some time, you know, getting entertained, being up with the local culture, being able to speak about XYZ, know what's happening in the world, on the side. It never lets us off. Right. But part of what sloth does then is makes us stop. And I think here's where the spiritual dimension of sloth comes in, right? It makes us stop caring about how important it is to be slower.
Right.
To be present in simple, small, everyday jobs in our families, with our friends. You know, we just sort of let those go. We stop caring in areas, not caring completely, but caring in certain important, crucial areas of our lives where God tends to show up. Those are the ones we tend to give up, right? Mm-hmm. So hustle culture can be a really... it's a real temptation. Like, ask yourself what you're giving up when it comes to your spiritual walk with God and your engagement with your family and community, you know, while you are so busy improving yourself in 50 different ways. And you'll probably begin to recognize the spaces where sloth is a temptation.
I feel like hustle culture is really toxic because it really glorifies just a really poor imbalance, you know, like you'll be like working around the clock on something. It'll be like, wow, they're such a go-getter. They're after their goals and everything. Or you'll pull all-nighters and it'll be seen as like, wow, so dedicated, so motivated. But that's like really bad for you. And like your brain needs to rest.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I just know those some people will be like, oh my gosh, I only got 3 hours of sleep. And they'll go like comparing themselves to other people who had like maybe 1 hour of sleep. And it's like, you can't consistently function this way. So in a way, you're kind of promoting laziness while you're performing, like you're performing a lot. Yeah. But up until like what point?
Right. So then, there's going to be a crash.
Yeah. You crash and then you're going to be like lazy, quote unquote, when really you just need rest. And then you conflate like laziness for sloth. And then you feel guilty because you're sinning on top of feeling awful. So that's what I'm
hearing from both of you is that, hyperculture is bad. The sloth is bad. And the best way is to find the balance in the middle. Right.
I would say situation. The sloth is somewhere underlying that hyperculture very often.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of part of what happens. I mean, not always, right? I do want to distinguish between a genuine sense that you want to be engaged and excellent
at
what you work, you find value in it. That's different from the sort of always do something.
It's always on culture,
which is somewhat different.
Yeah, it's the motivation.
It's the motivation.
It,
yeah, right? It's always is, that.
It
underlying.
Always goes back to like the things we can't quite see.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what I'm hearing is that that there's a good part to the bad thing.
Yeah.
Right? That, like you can the desire to be productive and to make a difference and to advance your work, whatever sector you're in, that's a positive thing. But I mean, if you go into overdrive and you're a workaholic and you're never home and you're proud that you've only slept 1 hour a night this past week, so you got more work done, that's the negative part of it, right?
Sure.
But there is a core to that that again I think is part of our calling, is part of what God wants us to do is to provide for our family and to engage in the world and to make a difference, right?
Yeah.
And that's the positive part of work, right?
Yes.
And then and there's nothing wrong with that. And say
that's commanded.
Yeah. Right,
if you're not doing that, there's a problem with sloth.
And then the sloth part again. We talked about taking a vacation, taking a break, taking a sabbatical. Having a lazy day, right? Aren't necessarily bad things, but if that becomes your focus.
No, those are healthy when they come after a good sense of work.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the balance you want.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we've talked about sort of what sloth is, all of these problems with it. I want us to end by just talking about, how do we overcome sloth? What does that look like in our lives? And the first thing that comes to mind for me, so you were talking about, when you were in a season of sloth, just wanting to check out and like not do any of the things. And I think about, for me, like showing up to church, showing up to prayer, to read my Bible, whatever it is, showing up for my family. I think even if it just feels like I'm going through the motions, the act of showing up is super important.
Yes.
So that's where I would start. What would you folks say?
No, I think that is a good start, and I think Rob covered that in the sermon as well. Just saying, keep praying, keep reading your Bible, keep coming to church, keep being engaged in your community, keep doing that stuff. Be diligent, even if you don't feel it. Right? What's the phrase?
Fake it till you make it.
There we go.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what I was hearing is that when you're going through those difficult times, of course you need that's a choice.
Yeah.
Right. And I think in my experience, I didn't have the strength or the will, to make that choice to show up again at places. I just, so I needed people, who love me and care for me and, who were able to, help get me to the point where I could make that choice to start going to life group again, my men's life group again, to start going to church again, to start, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What else? What are some other things, some practices we can put into place? Yeah.
Okay. I think just thinking of what motivates you, like just have some goals, because you might not even think about them, but they're really important to have. Like, I don't know if you know the acronym, like SMART, like SMART goals. Like, I forgot what it stands for, but one of them is like specific and like timely, and I'm all out of order, but
SMAT.
Yeah, whatever that is. And also just like, something for me is like, I think of the person I want to be, and mm-hmm. that person would just be being that person. So I just be that. Well, it's not like that easy yeah. though, but I try to just do the sure, things but yeah, that like my having future that vision. Self would have done. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
And I would say faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Like there's a calling for you to be who God has asked you to be yeah. for each day.
Yeah.
Right. Or in the place where you are.
Yeah.
And when I say faithfulness, I don't mean not cheating on something. I just sure. mean doing those acts and work, those tasks each day and yeah. recognizing the value of them. And I think,
yeah.
you know, if you go through the motions without, because you recognize the value of something, then it can take you through the times when emotionally you're not there.
Yeah.
But if you're only going through the motions without recognizing the value of it,
yeah.
without sort of trusting God, without, you know, then it can get very much more like a performance culture.
Sure.
So recognize where God has, you know, has value in those simple things that he's asking you to do
yeah.
in your day-to-day work. And that's hard enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I would say that faithfulness and renewing of that mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That is required to recognize the value and see when God says this is valuable, you say it's valuable and
right.
then do it. And
yeah.
so that's where I would, that's enough for me, I think,
yeah, yeah.
as a challenge for
yep.
going out of this reflection on sloth.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
I would say that the way to save your life is to give your life. I think the personal cost and the tragedy of sloth as one of the seven deadly sins is the wasted potential of not becoming the person or being the person that God has meant you to be.
Yes.
And that we're meant to be in community. Right. And to be in relationship be positive and productive member of society.
Mm-hmm.
But when we turn away from all that, we're keeping us for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of how it was for me. And we're starving ourselves of our lives, our life's potential.
Yeah.
And the verse that comes to mind is, just let me look it up here. It's Matthew 10:39, where it says, whoever finds their life will lose it, right? So for me, you know, that's if we're trying to hang on to our life, if we're disengaging and just doing our own thing, if we're scrolling or trolling or doom scrolling,
yeah.
or if we're binge watching, you know, whatever it is for us, then
yeah.
you know, we're trying to keep our life for ourselves. We're ultimately going to lose it,
yeah.
right? So whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And
yeah.
so what I think Jesus is saying there is that if we give our lives to him and to his service,
mm-hmm.
right, we will find that we get our life back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my experience. So after that intervention,
yep.
And I started engaging back in my community with my family in the world, you know, and just volunteering again, I didn't have the same amount of time to watch TV or to,
sure.
you know, do my own thing, whichever that was, but I didn't miss it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
my
yeah.
life was so much more fulfilling,
mm-hmm.
right? I got that sense of making a difference, of caring, of, you know, people and other people just, and, felt, you know, were, you know, happy that I was around.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that it was, and so it's not just how I felt, but it was, you know, the fact that I showed up,
yeah.
made a difference in yeah. the lives of other people. And so that really is that, you know, Jesus, you know, bang on, well done, Jesus.
Yeah.
you know, that the verse is great. And it's just, because it attacks that sense of sloth, that sense of a jealousy of our own time, of wanting mm-hmm. to be just do what we want, and say, no, that's not how you were meant to be. That's not how you were created to be.
Yep.
You're created, you know, you give your life to me in service to me, and you will find, you'll have a life of fulfillment and completeness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
it. No, thanks. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, so that's been a lot to think about, a lot to digest for sure, but I think a really hopeful note that we end on, you know, that there is a way forward. There is faith, there is hope. And yeah, that God can lead us in that path if we just trust and listen for that, for sure. Yeah, so thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Trinity Talks, and we'll see you again next week.